Can I ask you to turn to Matthew chapter 5? Matthew chapter 5, and reading from verses 1 to 12. Now we finish our consideration of the Beatitudes this morning, and then next Lord's Day, God willing, we'll begin a series of studies in the book of Ruth. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 1. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." We trust that God will bless that reading of his word. Now, I wonder if you feel that you ever face persecution in this country because you are a Christian. There can be no doubt that conditions for us in this country are so very different to what the Christians in Syria, Iran, Pakistan, Mali, and Nigeria, and many other countries, the things that they have to face, the threat to their lives because they've confessed Jesus Christ as their Savior. Many say that there is more persecution of Christians across the world today than there has been at any time since the Lord Jesus Christ was here on earth. To those early Christians who were listening to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, it came as a great shock to the disciples and to the other listeners that the Lord Jesus Christ said that the kingdom of God would mean persecution and suffering. Because back then, the popular opinion and what they thought was the informed opinion was that when the day of the kingdom would come, that would bring liberty, it would bring conquest of all enemies and triumph for the nation as soon as Messiah would appear. But Christ is saying, as a matter of fact, that the persecution and suffering will intensify. Persecution because of righteousness. Verse 10, he tells us, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now we have to, in our consideration of the Beatitudes, we have to draw attention to the fact that we need to take all the Beatitudes together. It's not that we decide in our lives that we're going to be a master of peacemaking, or that we're going to mourn because of our sin, that's going to characterize us, or that we're going to be the type that hungers and thirsts for righteousness. What the Lord Jesus Christ is describing here, he is describing the citizens of his kingdom, what they will be like. And each Sunday, as we have looked at an individual beatitude, we have built upon the previous one. So we take them and interpret the beatitudes in light of what all the other beatitudes say to us. Now, if you think of someone whose life is characterized by these beatitudes, what kind of person are we describing? Someone who is poor in spirit, realizes before God and before the people who they really are. They have a deep sense of mourning because of how scarce spirituality is in their lives. And that produces in them a meekness or humility, a disposition that governs how they are going to relate with other people. In turn, the adoption of this mindset creates in their hearts a deep sense of longing and thirst for the righteousness of God, the righteousness that God gives in Jesus Christ. They love the righteousness of God, and they want to see that manifest in their own lives, and they want to see it manifest in the lives of others as well. And the outworking of this new nature that God works in us is manifest in mercy, in purity, and in peace. Now, the question that we can ask as we think of that kind of person, would you like to have that person as a friend? Would it not be helpful, would it not be lovely to meet up with such a person, to see how God had worked in their lives, how their lives had been changed? You would trust them because of the meekness, because of the hunger and thirsting for righteousness, because of the poverty of spirit that they sense, because of the humility, because of the outworking in mercy and peace and kindness. A kind of person that we might well describe as low maintenance. But it is incredibly shocking that this kind of person will rub up against the world, and Jesus says that this kind of person will be persecuted. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Surely that must be the reverse of what we would have expected. Would these people, would they not be welcomed with open arms? Would we not love to have our nation populated with people like this? But when the world bumps in to a genuine Christian, it reacts, and it reacts badly. The world is in rebellion against God. And because of that, Jesus said, remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than the master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. He also said in John 15, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. You see how the Lord Jesus Christ is drawing our attention back to himself? If the world hates you, if you sense this persecution, turn your eyes toward me and realize that it hated me first. Christ is the head of the church. He's the one in whom we are in union. Because we are in Christ, we can expect the same kind of reaction that the Lord Jesus Christ experienced when he was here upon earth. Christians are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, because their loyalty belongs to Christ. We are first of all loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ. And real loyalty to Christ creates friction in the hearts of those who pay him only lip service. Remember how King Saul was enraged by the godly David. He recognized that God was with David, that God was in David, and he hated David for it. Loyalty in the life, loyalty to Christ in the life of the Christian will challenge the conscience of those who are not in Christ. They don't want this holiness. They don't want this holier than thou attitude. Often they feel that the way to silence the voice of Christ is to silence the voice of his followers. And persecution, sometimes in very subtle forms, follows on from that. In this country, it is unlikely for a considerable period of time that we would run the risk of losing our lives because of our faith. But one thing that we do lose is we lose our voice. The voice of the Christian is to be silent. We don't want you preaching to us. If you happen to say something, you say, but that's what the Bible teaches, and you can't impose the Bible upon us. When they say something, that's what the evil philosophers have said, and we don't want evil philosophy imposed upon us. They will impose their secular views, secular religious views upon us, and silence the voice of the Christian and silence the voice of the Bible. This beatitude brings home to us the kingdom life that the Lord Jesus Christ has called us to live. He has called us to live kingdom life in a fallen world. The gospel produces a lifestyle in us that is characterized by righteousness. In practice, that means absolute integrity, whether that is in the home, in the workplace, or even at play. But such integrity challenges the moral indifference that we find in our world today. When you refuse to do the things that everyone else does, it not only stirs up their sleepy conscience, but once that sleepy conscience is aroused, it irritates them and causes them to be angry. Angry with you, persecuting you because of righteousness. You would not think that simple honesty could be a dangerous lifestyle until you begin to put into practice on the shop floor or in the office that kind of simple honesty. The righteousness that causes the Christian to hunger and thirst after is completely distasteful to this world. Persecution is simply the clash between two irreconcilable value systems. Values of the kingdom as Christ has established them for us, and the values that have come about in this world. Now, since all of the Beatitudes describe what every single Christian disciple is intended to be, we conclude that the condition of being despised and persecuted is as much a normal part of Christian discipleship as being pure of heart and being merciful is a vital part of that Christian life. At the beginning of the Christian life, we need to grasp the reality of the likelihood of persecution. And that kind of awareness will not leave us disillusioned, because we are warned up ahead to expect this kind of reaction. Peter says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you." Why is this happening? Why do people mock me? Why do people take the Christian value off the agenda? Because this is the way they treated Christ. And if they have treated Christ in this way, so we can expect that same kind of reaction. We're told to learn to rejoice that we have been counted worthy to suffer for the name of Christ. The apostles in Acts of the Apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. We are to expect persecution because we will have endless difficulties of one kind or another as the devil seeks to attack through spiritual and human agencies that are under his control. The persecution in this country is of a subtle form where we are not allowed to speak out in public. Keep your religion private. Keep your faith private. As long as you keep it private and don't speak out, don't tell the politicians what to do, don't challenge anyone with what God says in his word, then that will be fine. We are off the agenda. We no longer have a voice. But when we think of persecution for righteousness' sake, there are a number of qualifications that we need to add. We need to be careful. We need to note that this verse, that Jesus does not say, blessed are those who are persecuted. He says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. There will be many Christians who will suffer persecution, and it may well be that that has nothing whatsoever to do with righteousness. Again, in 1 Peter, Peter says, if you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. There is no virtue in being persecuted and being punished for wrongdoing. This persecution that Jesus Christ is speaking about is a persecution because of righteousness, associated with a righteous life. When the Jehovah Witnesses are cold-shouldered in their attempts to visit the doors, they encourage themselves through thinking about this beatitude. But their denial of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ shows that their persecution has absolutely nothing to do with righteousness. Augustine made this remark, that it is not the punishment, but the cause which makes the martyr. We could find ourselves opposed just because we happen to be awkward and insensitive or stubborn people. The story is told of a young man at a university campus convinced himself that God had called him to preach in the open air on university grounds, which was something that was forbidden by the university authorities. The Christian Union advised him not to preach in the open air, but instead to become involved with the many other forms of outreach that the Christian Union were involved in. He wouldn't listen, and he went ahead, and he was punished by the authorities. That was not persecution, but stubbornness and foolishness on that young man's part. There are many reasons why we can face persecution, but Jesus is speaking of persecution because of righteousness. Though we can face aggression, not because of our righteousness, but we can just be objectionable and difficult in our behavior. We get ourselves into difficulty with others because we sometimes act in foolish ways. We can cause an unfavorable reaction because we behave perhaps in a self-righteous way, speaking rather offensively about others. Christ has never called us to be rude. He has called us to speak out with courage, but with respect and not with rudeness. We can sometimes get a bad reaction if we become overzealous fanatics about a particular ethical issue. We can find ourselves persecuted and disliked because of our involvement in a cause. Now, of course, righteousness might mean our involvement in a cause, but not every cause can be substituted for righteousness. We could set ourselves up with the task of opposing communism, opposing socialism, opposing capitalism. we could perhaps decide that we were going to support the Brexit program in the belief that this would free us from the liberalizing agenda of the European community. Or you might choose the opposite. You might choose to support Brexit because you believe in the stance of the European community on human rights. I'm not offering any opinion here on Brexit, but just sometimes, because of our engagement in a task, in a cause, we find ourselves receiving bad publicity and sometimes persecution and sometimes angry reactions. It doesn't mean that we're persecuted for righteousness. Opposition that you might draw your way may be nothing whatsoever to do with persecution for righteousness' sake. The righteousness that Jesus is speaking about is living in a righteous way, meaning being Christ-like in our character, and it is because of our Christ-likeness that we are persecuted. The second qualification is found in verse 11. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Sometimes we can be accused of bad things. And it may not be a false accusation. It might be true. Sometimes we do bad things and the proper response is not to say, I am being persecuted. The proper response is to say, I repent. I got it wrong. I'm sorry. The world may take us at times to task for our wrongdoing. The persecution that Jesus has in mind here is a persecution for righteousness when those accusations that are made against us are false. A third qualification is also mentioned in verse 11, where the Lord Jesus Christ says it's persecution because of me. We are not told that people are blessed when persecuted for a cause or a conviction, but because of me, because of Christ. This beatitude has nothing to say about persecution because of any political allegiance, loyalty to one's country, or to the color of one's skin. Perhaps the most startling thing in this beatitude is that the blessing attaches itself to the persecution. Like Paul says in Philippians, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. Because we have been called to suffer for Christ, we should be glad. Firstly, because it identifies us with the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though some strange thing was happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. We are identified with Christ because we are Christ-like. And because of that Christ-likeness, we are persecuted for righteousness' sake. We suffer because Christ suffered. We are treated in the same way as they treated the Lord Jesus Christ. But it also identifies us with the prophets of the Old Testament. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Back in Old Testament times, when the prophets spoke out against the people and gave the word of the Lord, the people didn't like what the prophets had to say. They didn't like what God had to say, and they persecuted the messenger. It also strengthens us when we're persecuted. It strengthens us in our salvation. John Calvin said that persecutions are, in a way, seals of adoption to the children of God. Because you are part of the family of God, the family of this world will dislike what you are, and you will find yourself persecuted. But this kind of reaction also helps us to grow in grace. James says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Why? Why rejoice when we face trials of many kinds? Because you know, God has given us the insight as to what is happening. Because you know that the testing of your faith, it develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. That you might grow up in Christ, learning to persevere, becoming mature, becoming complete, and not lacking in anything. God uses that persecution because of righteousness to help to develop Christian character in us. And it sort of becomes a vicious circle, doesn't it? The persecution, because we're Christ-like, develops more Christ-likeness in us, which leads to more persecution. Persecution because of righteousness. It's also a reminder to us that we do not belong to this world. This is not my home. Now, there are things in this world that I like. There are things in this world that I dislike. And it happened at Twickenham yesterday, one of those things. But this world is not our home. And the persecution because of righteousness' sake reminds us that we do not belong to this world. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Every single word that has been spoken out against you because of righteousness, every single act of violence against your person that has been carried out because of righteousness, every single scheme by a government that is opposed to organized Christianity, that is all remembered by the Lord. The Home Office in this country may not fully understand or engage with the kind of persecution that you have experienced. People may bring up ridiculous arguments to oppose you. All of these things remembered by the Lord. Blessed is the person who perseveres under trial, because they have stood the test. They will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. It does not go unnoticed. No matter how subtle, no matter how blatant, God sees all of these things. And when we stand the tests and we stand before our Savior, we will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. Our persecution for righteousness, our persecution because of Christ's likeness in our lives. God notes that persecution. And one day He will call all those to account for having spoken out against Christ and having spoken out against God's children. In that day, when God gives to him a name that is above every name, so that every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, no one will dare to persecute. No one will dare to shake a fist in anger against the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, because they will be caused by the overwhelming display of the righteousness and the glory of God, that they will have no other option but to bow the knee and to confess that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It may well be that for a little while we have to suffer these things. But Christ our Savior has said, it's because of me. It's because of righteousness. It's because of Christ-likeness. When we are ignored in this nation, when we are made perhaps to feel small and insignificant because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, remember that Jesus said, it's because of me. This is the way they dealt with me. So do not be surprised when they deal with you in the same way.